All right, time's yours coming up in 10 minutes. Cut day for the players, 4 o'clock today. I would certainly think some of them will be finding out during our show. I mean, you think at the very least the Eagles would clear out the easier decisions early. I mean, just because that's going to take time. I mean, if Sirianni meets with each guy, and maybe it's only a 3-minute meeting, but... You know, you got to...
Well, I think there were like 5 or 6 names that came out yesterday.
I know, but so, there's still a lot of guys to cut.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, that could take 3-4 hours
but just
from a
media standpoint.
But it's possible
they did some yesterday and it haven't leaked yet or
that's
whatever.
Right, that's right. So Zach McPherson, the only name of note yesterday was Zach McPherson. Man, that draft pick didn't work out.
Jeez.
I mean, what was he, a fourth rounder?
Fourth.
I mean, he gave him basically nothing. I'm not trying to dog the guy on the way out the door. I'm just saying, in his 3 or 4 years, whatever it was.
He had an Achilles tear in the third year or whatever.
Right.
So.
And then having a glut of young and very talented and tall
cornerbacks. You know why they got those guys?
Because he didn't pan out.
Yeah, because he wasn't any good.
Yeah.
How's that for a correlation? But look, it's a shame a lot of guys are going to get their dream. Listen, not necessarily shattered today because they have a chance to rebound. But let's be honest, most won't. Most guys that get cut today will never play in an NFL game moving forward. Some will. Most won't. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Chuck and Cherry Hill. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, morning, crew. I wanted to share an interesting stat I don't think you've heard yet today. So we're talking about Schwarber's second to home speed, and, of course, Topper was questioned about that. This is fascinating. I didn't know this. 7.1 was his closing speed from second to home. The fastest of his career.
Wow.
Whoa.
We all know that he's
trucking. I mean, it was.
I was shocked how there was like no play at the plate. Like, he was just safe. I was surprised.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's way above major league average. So we're not just talking.
Oh, look at this.
We're talking about, in that instance, with a good start, a good push, and cut the base right. He's above major
league average. Let me tell you something, Chuck. Remember earlier today when I said I never lie here on the show?
Yeah.
I never doubt it. Kyle Schwarber as a leadoff hitter.
And the other two quick things I get out of here, I got to hop in a meeting, but Andy from Deptford Special, Harper last night, 12th walk-off. I think right now we can certify Harp as the most clutch player Philly has ever seen. I know that's a big statement.
Philly or Phillies?
So, Philly sports. I don't know hockey, so the top three.
Well, I mean, listen, for what it's worth, Bernie Perron pitched a shutout. Both times the Flyers won the Stanley Cup, they won the game in a shutout.
This guy's, as I said a couple of weeks ago, this guy's postseason OPS is 1,100. Unheard of.
Unheard of. I love Bryce, man. All right, Chuck, good call. It's an interesting one. Most clutch player ever. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, obviously you have your guys that won titles, but... I mean, Nick Foles, but...
I think it's a lot easier to say a football player is the most clutch player ever because you're not going to have the obvious failures that you've got in baseball. It's really tough when you've struck out as much.
I mean, baseball, you can actually look at a batting average and say, all right, 7th, 8th, 9th inning, close game, what's your bet? I mean, you can actually get an actual thing on that.
It does
and
seem
he
like
is
Bryce
excellent
Harper
under
tends,
pressure.
Yeah, he tends to come up big in these huge moments.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think he's extremely clutch. I mean, I do. By the way, you know what's a really weird quirk in Philadelphia sports history? You can look this up, but I think I'm right about this. The two times the Sixers won the championship, 67 with Wilt, 83 with Moses and that crew. I think Wilt and Moses in the clinching game both, I think, had 24 points and 23 rebounds. Like the same exact stats.
That's crazy. I think they both had 23 rebounds.
That's
a good point. That's an insane number.
They're both
not for Moses and Wilt. It's not that crazy, actually. Yeah, that's kind of like right in line.
I mean, Wilt had 55 in one game.
Yeah. That is insane.
Or was it Russell that had 55? I think it was Wilt, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was Wilt, but maybe it was Russell. Anyway, but I think they were both 24 and 23. In their championship clinching victory. All right, let's talk to Steve in Cherry Hill. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, all. How you doing today?
Doing great, Steve.
So anyway, I'm still up in the air about the Eagles. Like John, I just wanted to see something, and it is going to be scary. I think their defense is going to start off like they ended last year. They're going to not stop the run, and who's going to stop the pass besides Slay? I'm very concerned.
And we got a lot of talented young pieces on that back end. We just haven't seen them.
Well,
play
young
together.
Is a bit of a concern. I mean, I'll say this, Steve. Let me give you an example. Eric Allen, who's maybe the best cornerback we've seen in the last 40 years here, all right? His rookie year, the Eagles gave up like a gazillion passing yards. Now, I'm not saying that was all his fault. Frankly, I think Andre and Wes, as a tandem, weren't as good at covering ground as obviously playing the run, and Buddy blitzed too much. But, you know, young players can struggle sometimes, and it's not lost on me that we as a fan base are banking on three or four young guys to play an awful lot back there. And that gets a little scary.
I think so. And I just think, you know, it sounds like this Nolan Smith is a complete bust for the Eagles.
It does sound like he's a bust.
We can't say that yet.
But it sounds like he probably is.
It sounds like it is. But anyway, I think it's all about the green, and I'm not talking about the Eagles with Walker and the starters not starting in football.
No question.
Preseason game.
No question.
I think it's about the owners and the GM. So
listen, anyway, if the Braves make this closer, then look, I think the Phillies should pull the plug anyway right now just because they're in a dogfight with the Brewers and Dodgers. But, you know, it's driving me nuts. Steve, give me an answer, man. A great, fascinating relationship.
The lady already stole it, and I think she should win that Dennis Menace.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I don't have that in my top three. We'll get to that shortly. I don't have that in my top three. Steven Deffert. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Great, Steve.
I just wanted to talk about my Eagles point, and more so on the linebackers. And it's not, you know, crazy information, but I listened to the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark the other day, and they had Devin White on there. And I know he had a down year in Tampa, but, I mean, just listen to the podcast about how he's, you know, getting along with the team. And I think he said they're in, like, he's in a leadership group chat for the team with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown.
Yep.
It just seems like his mentality, I think we have a good chance at, as long as he plays well, getting the Devin White of old.
Devin White, absolutely. He's a young man. He's not over the hill. This Devin White is washed up, and that's why he's here. That whole line of thinking is wrong. But Devin White had a contract dispute in Tampa last year.
John, he got a one-year deal on the market. Yeah. He was a free agent on the market. He got 1 year and $3 million guaranteed, dude.
Guys, do you understand that when you've got a problem with your contract, in some cases, which he did, it affects everything. You then, like, he
you're on the
made
market, though. The entire NFL. The NFL.
The way that he reacted to his contract situation last year,
well, that's his
it
fault.
Absolutely affected him and the way that he played and everything else. And that was a mistake.
But
he's going to make up for that mistake this year, and we reap the benefits.
Look, we'll
he's
say.
He's good.
Here's the thing. I don't know that he's good. I know that he was great. I have never, Steve, I've never said he's washed up. What I've said is he may be and probably is diminished. Like, Shaq Leonard got here, he was done. The guy was done.
I don't think
Devin White's done, but I don't expect him to be what he was when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. Because that guy was unbelievable.
He's 26.
I know.
Everyone has the wrong idea with
Devin
White.
When's the last time he dominated?
A couple years ago.
Okay, well.
Why didn't he get
last
more money on the open market?
He had a contract dispute.
Why didn't he get more money on the open market?
Good 29
because
other teams
he
had a chance to
perform last year.
He was
very clearly.
So that's it. And then no one can see what you saw in the NFL. No other team is like, well, it was just a contract dispute. I'm not going to overrate this. This guy's still a great player. He got $3 million on the open market. He might be great, but I'm just saying it's not a lock that he's going to be great.
He got less than Zaire White got here 2 years ago. I mean, think about that.
Kaiser.
What'd I say?
Zaire.
Was a fantasy player, I think.
I'm thinking of Zaire Smith, the Sixers player.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Zaire Smith, Zaire White. All right. Devin White.
Devin White is the most talent of these inside linebackers. Yeah. He's going to lead that group, and we're going to be so happy.
All right, Steve.
Well, the good news is he has to prove it. So
he does
motivation.
Have to prove it. Steve, I do love, you know, the way he's talking, and I hope he can deliver on the field. Give me an interesting relationship, Steve, from the world of fiction with a generational divide, two people.
All right, so my guess is Sonny and Colagino from A Bronx Tale.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's a great answer. Wow.
Holy mackerel. I don't know how we're going to decide this. This is really hard, and I don't know how to spell collegial. And with that, let's do what we do every single day at this time. Wow. That's a tough one. Hey, Tom's yours. Yeah. It's brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. I'm struck that no one said any relationships between Game of Thrones today, because I'm sure there were some generational divides there that...
I didn't even think about that.
Could have been fascinating.
But who, like, what relationship?
I don't know.
There's so many names and relationships
and
all those.
An older, younger relationship.
I mean, how about
Arya and her Swordmaster?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How about this? How about Jon Snow and it's not actually his dad?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
I mean, but anyway, that's short-lived. All right, with that said, let's hit it with Tom's yours.
After Tywon Walker's last start, Rob Thompson was asked if he would start again, and he did not give an answer. He said, well, we have to check on a few things. And usually he knows the answer to those questions immediately. And he will usually give the answer to those questions. I don't know if it was Middleton decision or a Dombrowski decision, but I know for sure it was not a Rob Thompson decision.
I agree with you, my man. I do. By the way, I thought of another one, Devin. Jon Snow and Lady Stark, who did not like
him. She didn't
him
like him.
Because she thought her man cheated.
Yeah.
And he had
him. Wait, I thought he had.
He had
no. It was for his sister.
He was covering for his sister.
Devin,
right.
That's the key plot point of the entire show.
And he took that to his death, guys.
Which was he kind of did his wife dirty.
I think so too.
Yeah, I agree. Like, trust your wife to keep your secret. Right. Yeah. She's your wife. Like, she's your person.
He should have. That's a mistake by
I think so
Ned.
Too. I agree.
Yeah, nice W last night, but I got to tell you, I was crushing Topper when I saw Schwarber go out there second base as the ghost runner, whatever the heck they called it. I can't believe there wasn't anybody, a pitcher, anybody that can run faster than that dude. That didn't make any sense. Good thing it panned out, though.
He's got explosion. That's what we saw last night. He's faster than we thought.
Hit a walk-off, he did.
Yes!
The force is definitely strong with Bryce, because it was Star Wars night. Time's yours.
Man, look at that.
Hey, was that was him pressing a button that replayed Yoda. That wasn't
I don't know if so. That was
Yoda,
pretty
right?
good if he did it.
Really good.
Wechter
was him.
Wechter had it.
That was probably Wechter.
Had
yeah.
to be. Yeah.
Hey, Richie, it's me, Coach Andy Reid. Hey, Richie, you're fired.
That's pretty good.
No,
man.
It was more like, we're going to go ahead and let you go.
That's pretty much what he just said on that Times Yours call.
Did you, because I know you cried, I'm not making funny at all, John. Did you cry on the phone with him?
I hope not.
I don't think I tried to hold that back.
Short,
yeah.
You think you did?
I think I did.
Short call?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot to discuss.
You know, I heard an old Cowboys player one time say, because Tom Landry very famously cried when he got fired by Jerry Jones. And I heard an old Cowboys player who was not a Landry fan say he was glad Landry cried. He had cut so many players for so many decades that cried. So
a little bit of medicine, so to speak. Wow.
Yeah.
He was not a Tom Landry fan.
As Buddy Ryan once said, what goes around comes around. In a different context. And with that, Time's Yours, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
So I recently, as you guys know, bought, it was 52, it actually turned into be 53 books. I am going to buy, but hadn't yet. Tell me if this is unacceptable as an Eagles fan. There's a book out there called The Last Cowboy.
Hold on.
Yes. About Tom Landry.
No. Yes, it's unacceptable.
No.
Did you buy 52 books because for any reason
in
particular?
No.
It wasn't like a week thing?
Yeah.
Like,
well, it wasn't because of the Super Bowl 52?
No, it wasn't Super Bowl 52.
Okay.
And Devin, I bought them all within about 4 or 5 days.
Why?
I just like to stock up for about 2 years, and then I'm good to go for about 2 years.
Why do you like that? Why do you like that? To stock
because
up on
that would
books
overwhelm me. That's
for
also
2 years.
Expensive.
Don't you think that's
it keeps
odd?
Me, Devin? It keeps me off the streets. That's okay. So yeah. I stay
important,
safe.
Important. Got to keep you
and,
on the streets.
When
yeah
have you ever been on the streets for anything?
Come on, man. I'm like Mick Jagger, Street Fighter. What was that song?
Street Fighter.
You
yeah
are not like that.
You are not at all like that.
I don't know, John. I like to just load up and be ready to rock and roll. I mean,
what a joke! Can someone do the Street Fighting Man for Joe in however you turn that on its head? Wow!
All right, let's get to Rob in Ocean City. And yes, I will read the Tom Landry book at some point.
Oh,
hello,
man.
Robert.
It's a great show. Thanks for taking my call. I got a great answer for you. But before I get to that, can we dial down the Nolan Smith talk a little bit? Do you remember when Brandon Graham got here?
Yeah, but Brandon Graham is the exception to the rule. You normally know pretty early.
But come on, this kid needs a little time to develop. He's got some potential. I don't think he's got bust on him. He's willing to learn. He's willing to play the run. Give him some time. It doesn't always come right away.
Okay, fair. But I'll say this, Rob. Marcus Smith may have been willing. Danny Watkins may have been willing. You know, Sean Bradley may have been willing. I mean, if you're just not good enough, you're not good enough.
Yeah, what if we have two guys who are willing at both outside linebacker positions? We got Bryce Huff on one side and Nolan Smith on the other side. They have the want to, but they can't actually physically do it.
Right.
We're not going to be good if that's the case. They better be able to handle it.
Now, as far as playing the starters in the preseason, I think this team is so you know, if you remember last year, they started off, the defense started off good, but they wore down, you know, Davis and
Carter.
Carter.
That's right.
These guys wore down, and I think these guys, the team is so worried about these guys wearing down that they just want to keep them fresh. I'm not saying that's right. But I think that's their mindset, and that's why they're not playing them. Now, as far as an answer, Joe, I have a great answer. I think, how about Clint Eastwood and Hilary Swank and Million Dollar Baby?
That's another one, yeah. I didn't like it, but it is certainly an interesting relationship. There's no question. I mean, look, if you go to that, you know, almost to, you know, the athletic world, you can go Rocky and Mickey and all that.
I
mean,
yeah, I was waiting for that one all show.
You could open up a million possibilities with that. All right, we need to come up with a winning answer for the most interesting relationship. Generational divide. I have seven circled that I think are the top seven. I actually have a top three, but all right. In no particular, well, I'll say them in the order they were said. Yoda and Luke Skywalker, Tony Soprano and Uncle June, Doc Brown and Marty McFly, Buttermaker from the Bad News Bears and Amanda Wurlitzer, Dennis the Menace and Mr. Wilson, Benjamin, I think the name was Braddock, and Mrs. Robinson from The Graduate, and Collegial and Sonny from A Bronx Tale.
Collegial. And
Collegial.
Doc and Marty is my vote.
My answer, too. Those are all great. We have to choose. I felt Doc and Marty stood out.
Let me ask you, because the question was interesting. So I don't have that. Let me say the top three.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're just like friends. It's so interesting. At least the others, there's like reasons for it. This is like just out of nowhere. These two people are friends.
Here's my top three. Tony Soprano and Uncle June, Buttermaker and Amanda Wurlitzer, and Mrs. Robinson and, you know.
Well, we're going to have to discount your choices.
All right. Why is it interesting with Doc and Marty? I'm not saying it's not, but why do you think it's the most
interesting? They travel through time, man. Like, what are you talking
They've
about?
They've had so many more years through their process, their saga together, and they truly were close.
Well, and it's not the typical, like, wise old man imparting wisdom. He's kind of just like his crazy science sidekick guy.
You sign off on this, Devin?
Sure. I like the Yoda, Luke Skywalker
like Yoda
answer the best,
too.
But I'll go with the Marty answer as well.
All right. Congratulations to Mike. Look, there's a bunch of answers here that on most days could have been a winning answer. Mike gets it with Doc Brown and Marty McFly.